Good morning. This is Mark Mays, pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Harrisonburg, Virginia. Once again, it's good to be with you today, and we trust that today we can be a blessing to you and your family. Let's ask the Lord to help us this morning as we spend a few moments together. Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for just the privilege of having, Father, the Holy Spirit that lives within us and abides within us, seals us. We're thankful, Lord, for your word that, Father, you've given to us. You've preserved it for us. It's true. It's without error. It's an absolute. We're thankful, Lord, for just the church that you've given to us that we can go to and hear preaching and have fellowship with believers. We're thankful, Lord, for a cause, a purpose to live that's bigger than any of us and all of us put together. And, Lord, that's to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, just thank you. We can't say thank you enough, but we can say thank you. And, Lord, this day we are thankful. We do pray and ask you to help us, Lord, as we spend a few moments, Father, here on the broadcast, that you allow the Holy Spirit to illuminate your word. May you challenge each and every one of us afresh and new. And may, Lord, we respond to the challenge. And, Lord, because of that challenge, may we become more like you, less like this old world and certainly less like our old self, the old flesh. God, help us this day to live for you and to live like you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to take just a brief moment here before I get into the broadcast material and just say a thank you to all of those who participated in the recent Share-a-thon. It truly is a joint effort, and some of us were able to give, some were not able to give, but all of us can pray. And for those who have prayed, thank you. For those who have prayed and given, thank you. And for all the churches that help support it, I know that many of our churches, though we're not Valley Baptist Church, the other churches that support our folks listen to WOTC. They are encouraged by the singing. They're encouraged by the preaching. And so I want to say, as an individual, and I think I represent many of us in the Valley, just thank you for all that you've done and for the sacrifice and just for supporting WOTC, Pastor Bailey there at Valley Baptist Church, and those fine folks. Just thank you, folks, for doing this for our community, and we trust the Lord to give you many, many blessings because of that. So thank you very much. Well, I'm in a series and have been for some time going through the book of Proverbs, both at our church and here on the radio broadcast on Tuesdays, looking for biblical principles for practical living. I think many of us recognize today that we live in a day and age where much of the world has been overtaken just by the things of the world. Even the church itself has been overtaken. It seems like the church has moved in, or rather the world has moved into the church's arena. And the church needs God's people to live by biblical principles. So few of us seem to live truly by principles. We live by emotions, or we respond according to our feelings. You know, that's not the way God has designed it. We are to live a principled life. We, as we go through our daily routine and things take place, people say things, events unfold, there are biblical principles that God has given to us to lead us and guide us, to help us and enable us to make the proper decision at any given point in any given day. And these are biblical principles for practical living. And that's what we're looking for. It goes from A to Z. All kinds of subject matters are dealt with through the book of Proverbs. And we're going through those, identifying them and sharing them on the broadcast. We are in Proverbs 17. We're in verses 27 and 28. The Bible says this: "He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit." In verse 28, it says, "Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding." You know, someone said this, you know, keep your mouth shut, and the world will think you a fool. Open it, and they will know it. You know, he that spareth his words, that's simply and very clearly talking about a man that doesn't say everything that comes to his mind, or a woman, a boy, a girl, for that matter. It's not just a man. But the person that spares his words, that person has knowledge. He's using knowledge. He's using not only Bible knowledge, but he's using good common sense as well. A man of an understanding is of an excellent spirit. You know, somebody comes along and says, you know what, I'll just give them a piece of my mind. I'm not afraid to tell them what I think. I'll tell them. I'll set them straight. And sometimes even Christians talk that way and almost are proud of themselves because they're willing just to say anything to anybody. And so often what is said sometimes doesn't need to be said, or it certainly doesn't need to be said in the manner or in the connotation that it was said. You know, God has God's concern about our speech this morning. God's concern not just with the words that we say, but he's concerned with how we say it or the attitude in which we display as we say whatever it is we choose to say. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs 10:19, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. When it speaks there that there wanteth not sin, in other words, that there's no lack of sin. In other words, it's plentiful. In the multitude of words, and so you could just reason it this way. The more you talk, the more likely you are to get into areas that are sinful. Saying the wrong thing, saying too much, gossiping, slander, whatever, or saying it in the wrong way. He that refrains his lips, according to the Bible, is a wise man. The person who doesn't say everything that comes to mind is a wise person. The person that says everything that comes to the mind, the Bible says, is a foolish person. In Proverbs 15:28, the heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. Poureth out evil things. In Job chapter 13, verse 5, Job says, oh, that ye were altogether hold your peace. Oh, that ye would altogether hold your peace, and it should be your wisdom. Notice what Job says, you would be wise not to say everything that you think you need to say. Speaking to his so-called friends, and he was saying to them, you know, you'd be really wise if you would probably keep your mouth shut. If you wouldn't say everything that you think you need to say and everything that's come to mind, you'd be considered more wise if you just hush up than you would just to spew out everything that's coming to your mind. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 5, verse 3, the Bible says, for a dream cometh through the multitude of businesses, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. Notice that phrase, a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. The more we speak, the more likely we are to show ourselves less than wise. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 14, a fool also is full of words. Notice that. He's full of words. A man cannot tell what shall be, and what shall be after him, who can tell him? And then in Proverbs 21:23, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. I remember about 33 years ago, in that area now, when I first got married to my wife. And of course, any two people who come from different backgrounds, there's going to be an adjustment period when you initially get married. And so we were going through that process, and our personalities are different, like many couples. And so I would come home from work, I'm all ready to go, and I want to talk, and my wife has a tendency to be of a quiet personality. She's not one that says a lot, she's not the extrovert, and so she's more the quiet temperament. And I'd come home, and boy, I was wanting to, you know, have a conversation, whatever. And she wasn't acting quite the way I thought she should be acting. It wasn't quite as bubbly as I thought maybe she should be. And so I would say, "What's wrong?" And she would say, "Nothing." And of course, I didn't buy that. And so I would say, "What's wrong?" And she would say, "Well, nothing's wrong. I'm just quiet." And I said, "No, something's wrong." And we would go back and forth here, and what happened? I would keep saying, "What's wrong? What's wrong?" Because she wasn't acting the way I thought she should be, and that's who she was. That's her personality. I knew it as when we were dating, but I didn't live with her all the time. So now I'm seeing more of it. And so I'm thinking she should be bubbly and she should be all perky and ready to have a conversation like I wanted to, but that's not her personality. And nothing was wrong. That's just who she is. But because I couldn't keep my mouth shut, there was about to be something wrong because I kept on. I just wouldn't shut my mouth, and I'd keep saying, "What's wrong? What's wrong? Something's got to be wrong. Tell me what's wrong. What's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? Tell me what's wrong." And after a bit, there was something wrong. And what was wrong was me in my mouth. And I couldn't keep it shut long enough. And so, though we've never had, big fusses and feuds, then there would be a little tension there. And, I finally realized through a lot of trial and error that there was nothing wrong until I kept running my mouth. And then there was going to be something wrong. And I finally learned not to do that. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. I just couldn't keep my mouth shut. And sure enough, there would be a little bit of conflict. And the Lord helped us get through that. And the Lord helped me to learn to shut up. And the Lord helped my wife to learn that's just who I am. And so we've learned to work out the medium. But, I couldn't and didn't keep my mouth shut like I should. I just kept egging it on. And finally, we would get sort of frustrated with one another. But God got us through that. That's what a fool does. A fool just doesn't know when to keep his mouth shut. And so often I have acted a foolish person. I acted like a foolish person. My dad taught me, not that I learned the lesson as well as I wish I would have, but my dad taught me to be careful with the words. And I didn't understand it's not just the words, but how you use them. Both of those are equally important. And so I'd encourage you this morning, I don't know who you are and who's listening. I don't know if you're the one that's quiet and the others in your life are just sort of bubbly, ready to go, ready to talk. And but all of us, we need to be careful not with just what we say, but how we say what we say. Husbands, I would encourage you to challenge yourself, examine yourself, and ask yourself, how do I speak to my wife, and what words do I use, and how do I use them? And you ladies, when you think about your husband, ask the same question, what words do I use towards my husband, and how do I use them? Parents, what a challenge here. What an important challenge. How do we speak to our children, and what words do we use, and how do we use them? So often I've heard people say this, that person talks to me, talks at me and not to me. And sometimes we're guilty at talking at people. We're not carrying on a conversation that's fun for them. We're talking at them, not with them. And the words may be fine, but it's how we are using them. And so God helping us, we can be better at the choice of words and better at the usage of the very words that we put together. And that's a good biblical principle. How many times have people got into fights because of just their words and how they use them? How many marriages have been dissolved because saying the wrong thing the wrong way or saying the right thing the wrong way? How many friendships have been destroyed and ruined because of an uncontrolled tongue or an uncontrolled attitude with the tongue? How many people have been wounded and sometimes even murdered because there was a verbal confrontation? One thing led to the other, and the next thing you know, somebody loses their temper and they leave the verbiage and go into action, strike someone with their hand or with a stick, or sometimes you hear people even shooting others because it all started with a verbal confrontation. We need to be careful. Here's a biblical principle that could save us a lot of problems, a whole lot of problems. May God help us to see and discern this idea of learning to spare our words, learning to shut our lips, as the Bible says. He that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. We go over to chapter 18 quickly this morning, and we drop down to verse 6 and 7. This principle is very similar, and I've not spent as much time, but in verse 6 and 7, the Bible says, a fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. Notice that phrase, a fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. Someone said this, a fool, by his rash and wicked speeches, provoketh others to quarrel with him, and as it follows, sometimes even to strike him. Just a confrontation, a fool's lips enter into contention, bitterness, wrath, anger. Someone said this, the foolish man meddles with disputes in which he is not concerned, and by his silly interference not only exposes himself to reprisals, but also exacerbates the original difficulty. his mouth calleth for strokes. In other words, one thing leads to the other. In Proverbs 14, verse 6, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. He just keeps on keeping on in the wrong direction. In Proverbs 20, verse 3, it is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. Just keeps pushing at it, keeps meddling. Proverbs 29, 9, if a wise man contendeth with a foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there is no rest. The Bible says the wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. Proverbs 13, 3, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, and he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Well, notice that. He that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. You know, sometimes our biggest problem is our mouth. Many of us probably know some people, you know, their biggest problem is their mouth. Their mouth is always getting in them into trouble, we say. He just can't keep his mouth shut. She just can't keep her mouth shut. She always has these problems because she just doesn't learn or hasn't learned or he hasn't learned to keep his mouth shut. You know, this principle would save a lot of problems. And I have no doubt in my mind that many of us that are listening, we either have experienced or we know people who have experienced the difficulties of life brought on simply because the improper use of their words and the way they use them. And how many of us know of the ruin that has been brought into families' lives, friendships, because of the misuse, the improper use of the words and the very attitude in which those words are used? And perhaps I'm speaking to someone today and you're battling and you're suffering in a relationship because you didn't control your words or how you said them. Or maybe you are living in a family where you know there's contention between siblings or maybe the parents because, you know, they're just not being wise with the words that they say and use and how they say them. Maybe you work in a workplace and there's confrontation, there's pressure there, there's tension because, you know, some coworkers are at one another's throat and they're not using the right words and certainly not using them in the right manner. You know, this area of learning to speak and speak well and speak the right words and learning to refrain, not everything that you think has to be said. These are good principles that help us a lot. God's given us these principles, and may God help us to understand and to put these principles into practice. They can save us a lot of heartache. They really can. And they can help us so much and help us to help others. May God enable us this morning to take these principles, put them into practice, and enjoy the great benefits that God affords us because of this. I thank you for listening, and you have a great day.